B-Pod Studios.
Oh, except you are still a band. They are still a band.
Balls to the wall.
One of the best Beavis and Butthead episodes ever.
Challenging Ronnie James Dio as the shortest metal singer of all time.
Udo Dirkschneider? What was his name?
It was Udo something.
It's like Udo right. Dirkenschnoof or something.
All right, so Rich, a man who had a gun range at his school, is surprised that there were cup checks.
No, that a coach would take his hand and check your cup. It would touch your crotch.
Well,
to see that, to me, that is surprising.
It was a smack with the back of the hand when I was growing
still
up.
Still a hand on your nuts. That is shocking.
Jim, go ahead.
My 10-year-old Little League year, I had the same thing as you, Fred, and I think that a parent must have said something because I had the same coach my 11-year-old year, and he used the handle end of the baseball bat to check instead of his hand.
Now, how hard did he hit you?
Like
a fastball.
Yeah. just enough to hear the sound, if it made the sound or not.
Yeah, see, it was not comfortable, the cup checks that I got. They were painful. But I generally had a cup on. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, growing up, when I was little, the whole cup check thing is definitely a thing. A lot of the kids didn't like wearing them just because they were uncomfortable, and it wasn't always just line up and check or anything like that. Sometimes it'd just be randoms, and depended on if they were holding something. It depended on if they hit you with that or the back of their hand. But that's definitely a thing, though.
Yeah,
or it was anyway.
Yeah, they didn't like line you up. They would just kind of come over and go cup check.
It's a vanilla nut tap, right?
Yeah. Mike, go ahead.
Cup check's real, and I'd say the traditional cup check is the back of the hand, and in high school it moved to the end of the bat. But I never really got hit in the balls. You just sort of took a lap before. I mean, you're not going to let them hit you in the nuts. You know what I mean?
Well, when he did the back of his hand, did it hit you in the nuts?
No, I just ran before the guy touched me in the nuts.
Oh, okay.
You just take a lap.
All right, so you would accept the punishment.
You weren't wearing one, right?
Yeah, you had accepted the punishment.
No one wore a cup, you know, and I mean, it's the worst thing ever. If you're in the outfield, you're not wearing a cup for sure.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, this was a football situation with me, was the cup check.
I can't read this one.
Adrian Beltre would not wear a cup.
No, he would not.
Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's calling about cup checks, I guess. I thought you were being dramatic. I did everything from fencing to football, and the only thing they would do is we'd all stand around, and they'd say cup check, and we all knock on our cups. And you'd hear everybody clock, clock, clock.
That is totally fine, acceptable. That is fine. But walking up to a kid and grabbing their crotch had a nut.
It didn't grab.
It's a quick flick. Or, I don't care. Touching it in any sort of way.
I agree.
Is not acceptable.
I would not do it.
Okay. You're going to have to be smart here and fill in the blanks. This is too good. Somebody said, my coach used to ask what the capital of Thailand was and then yell bang blank during cup checks.
Yeah.
Capital of Thailand. Bang blank.
Yeah.
I can't. It's a name of a place. I should be able to say it.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
John Vega says, quote, I just ran before the guy touched my nuts. Caller of the year.
Yeah, you take the lap, I guess. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Fred?
Hey.
Yeah, so in Pop Warner, they would do the cup check for the offensive line. I played offensive line. Big guy. So they would do the cup check, but the coach, Bill, he'd have his, you know, he'd have both hands in his pockets, and he'd be moving around a lot, if you know what I mean, like scratching, pulling. And, you know, the kids would all, we'd all talk about him, like, what the hell is he doing? Why has he got his hand in his pockets pulling around? And every once in a while, he'd come over and say,
hey, you wearing a cup, huh? And he'd knock on someone's, you know, junk.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Bill, he was an odd guy, and I think he took some gratification in that. And one other thing, when I got older, I was thumbing with my buddy, and Bill pulled over. He had he was just driving around, you know, it's 2 p.m, and he's like, hey, pop in. We got in, and from the floor to maybe my waist, beer cans.
It's a Buttermaker situation.
Yeah, it is a Buttermaker situation.
Oh, man. We had coaches. I never saw a coach, like, kick a guy in the balls like Bert had one time, or Bird did. But, like, we used to have guys, like, challenge, like, some of the players to wrestle. Like, not like Michael Hurley did, where it was a shirtless, like, that was at detention.
Yeah, that was a weekend detention type deal.
Wait, what was the Hurley's?
So Hurley's situation was, if you got Saturday detention at his high school, there was a guy who used to challenge you to a shirtless wrestling match. It was like, it may not even have been a coach. It might have been somebody.
No, it was the assistant principal.
May not have been the assistant principal.
It was the assistant principal. You were out. Hurley was in here, told a story, and we had an avalanche of phone calls backing Hurley up by guys that had gone to that school.
At that school, it was known that if you got Saturday detention, the first thing you did was you had to take off your shirt and have a shirtless wrestling match
with the assistant principal. Yep, I remember that.
Like, that's...
Okay, did Hurley tell his parents?
I don't know. I think at the time they were just like, "All right, man, whatever."
I don't think he told them.
I don't think he's with the school anymore, though. I did hear that.
But it was only recent.
What's worse, a cup check or making a kid for no reason wrestle you with a shirt off?
That's option B. That's way worse. It's way worse than that.
Yeah, man, they're both awful.
They're both not like, right. I don't condone either. But at least there is a method to the madness of the cup check.
Yeah, no clothes come off.
And also, you should be wearing a cup because you could injure your testicles. Again, I condone neither of these behaviors, nor have I done these.
But
why did he take his shirt off?
And you had to take your shirt off, too.
No, that was the other part of it.
You both had to be shirtless.
Both of you had to take the shirts off.
Okay, why?
Dude, I don't know. And there was no justification for it. But the one thing I didn't ask Hurley was, what would happen if you said no?
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, if you said, I'm not wrestling you shirtless, like, what would happen? See, to me, I almost think the shirtless thing is, like, better than touching the nuts, because you would have every right to, like, beat the snot out of the guy. Like, if this dude was starting to wrestle with you, you could take shots. Like, you could break his jaw if you wanted to.
I have a feeling that the guy picked and chose who he wrestled. Plus, I have a feeling he didn't pick an offensive lineman who goes 6'5", 240.
Yeah, and I also have a feeling that this guy was not used to losing wrestling matches.
Yeah.
And I guess it went on for, like, over a decade.
No, and the guy was still employed until recently. Apparently.
And he was doing this the whole time?
I don't know if the whole time, but back when Hurley was in school, the answer was yes.
And I asked Hurley, I was like, why did you say anything? And he goes, I don't know. And I bet that's how a lot of, like, these students are. Just like, I don't really know. But now that I look back, that's really freaking wrong and weird.
It's kind of something that happened, you know?
It's just like, you just knew that if you got attention, you're wrestling.
Was it, like, playful? Or was he?
No, I think he was into it. I think it was one of those things where it was like, come on.
Yeah.
What do you got? And they would get on the floor and he would wrestle each one of them.
We didn't even have Saturday detention.
It's like Breakfast Club. You know, they just cleaned out the chairs in the library and went at it.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's insane. And I still don't understand, like, I mean, and he didn't even really know. As I said, it's one of those things where I bet it was in his, like, denial file for years. Right. You know, it kind of goes away. And we brought it back out, and it's kind of blurry. He's like, you know, he's trying to read through the file all of a sudden and catch up.
Maybe why he's so into Deflategate.
Maybe. I'm
just
not quite sure.
Takes his mind off of it.
Yeah.
And, all right. Well, listen, there is information on Alex Cora and his involvement in the stealing of signals, and it's very nefarious.
We also have a guest who's going to be coming on.
Oh, that's right. The guest is going to be coming on next.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got information about I mean, it's funny. It's like they essentially announced who their new manager was going to be and then said, no, that's not going to be our new manager. And now I guarantee you that's going to be the new manager.
Okay, Chris Critello going to be joining us in just a moment.
Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I can't get enough of that crazy sound. .985 the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Chris Cotillo is the Red Sox beat writer for MassLive.com, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Chris.
How are you guys?
We are well. Are you down there in what Dan Roach calls heaven?
Yeah. It's Florida's version of heaven. Got in yesterday and headed to the park right now for what should be a busy day of hearing exactly why they traded Mookie Betts.
Yes, indeed.
Today should be kind of fun. Now, when's the really awkward John Henry, Tom Werner conversation that kicks off spring training?
I think that's a week from today, actually. So that's something to look forward to, where we'll hear that it was never a mandate, just a goal to get under the collective bargaining tax.
Yeah,
when it was absolutely a mandate the whole time. So that should be a fun one. I think that's a week from today. Entry interviews for those players who are still left on the roster this week to start.
Okay, so obviously, what a cluster F over the weekend with everything that happened, and now you've got a new players. The trade is Mookie and Price are still gone, but you've got a couple of new guys that are here. What, real quick, do you know anything about the report that Ken Rosenthal had that said that Red Sox ownership, one of the reasons they were trying to fix all of this was because they were surprised by the backlash over the haul that they ended up getting the first time around?
Yeah, I haven't heard that, independently. It's kind of hard to believe that people kind of in that position of power who have been around this market for so long and obviously running this team for so long would not have anticipated the backlash to trading your best player and a generational talent. But the reaction when it happened, there was a lot of negativity. I was actually in favor of trading Mookie Betts for a variety of reasons. I don't think he wanted to come back, and I thought they actually did well to get Verdugo for him. I think the second version of the trade is actually a lot better than the first, which helps him save face a little bit. But if that is true, and obviously Ken Rosenthal is just about the best in the business, so there's no reason to doubt him. It's bizarre that the backlash would make them want to change things. I think they obviously did have a real issue with the medicals on Bruce Dar Gratterall, the original righty they were supposed to get from the Twins. But he's going to the Dodgers now in this revised version of the deal, so clearly L.A. didn't have a problem with it. So just a bizarre situation all around, and definitely a question that will be asked of the owners when they do sit down with us down here.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm in favor of trading Mookie Betts as well. I mean, this is what Dombrowski does. I mean, he comes in, he makes moves that you and I could make. He guts the farm system, and at a certain point, you have to restock. I mean, at a certain point, you can't be a functional baseball team that just relies on just signing high-priced talent.
Yeah, and every other team, including the Red Sox before, have gotten under the CBT. The Dodgers have done it. They're trying to do it right now. They're trying to stay under, even after adding Price and half of Price's contract. And Mookie, the Yankees have done it. It's just kind of a strategic thing in baseball that all these teams have to do. I think there's always this misperception that, the Red Sox are trying to be cheap and they're raising ticket prices but cutting payroll. It's not about, the bottom line. It's about they don't want to lose the draft picks. They don't want to be taxed because it just gets worse every year if you keep on doing it. And in their case, they wanted to reset. They looked at this year as one where they could do it. And then there'll be huge players in free agency next year, whether it's for trying to get Mookie back, which I doubt at this point, or a guy like George Springer, which looks more likely. So, yes, it's probably not going to be, a fun season if they're surprise contenders. They have a lot of room to make moves at the deadline. And then after the year, they'll be the normal back to, a team that's going to go after the big price guys, whether those are free agents or via trade.
Chris, the one big criticism of this revised deal is the Red Sox did not get an arm back. And when you look at the major league ready pitching that's available to them in their system, including on their roster, there isn't a lot to choose from. It's a major weakness of this team.
Yes, it is. Obviously, they've lost now two of the five guys that were in their rotation last year in Price and Porcello. They signed Martin Perez, who's a lefty who pitched for the Twins last year, did not have a great year. You know, kind of a cheaper version of Rick Porcello and a left-handed version, which, you know, obviously Porcello had a bad year. So if they're cheaping out on that, that's kind of a concern. But that fifth spot is wide open. You know, they had to camp with not really a surefire guy. There's not even really a veteran on the roster, or a veteran on a major league camp invite that you see is a good fit for that. So they could go with an opener. I know, obviously, that's something that the Rays did and kind of revolutionized under Bloom. They could try, you know, one of these guys, whether it be Kyle Hart or Brian Johnson or Hector Velasquez, these guys we saw rotate through the fifth spot last year. I think the opener is more likely, and I'd be shocked if we didn't see a veteran or two come into camp. The problem is there's none of those guys really available. You know, Andrew Kastner, God forbid, is still out there. Jason Vargas, guys like that. So it's slim pickings unless they want to go the trade route. They obviously have the flexibility to do that, but I'd be shocked if another pitcher or two didn't come in from the outside.
Do they have enough to trade, to make a big trade like that?
It's more probably where they take on a little bit of salary. I mean, they have $20 million almost under the cap or under the CBT where they can work with now. So, you know, being able to eat someone's salary to try to make that work, or take on salary and get a young pitcher back. You know, they've obviously had extensive discussions with the Padres about doing something where they take on some of Will Myers and get one of maybe their young pitchers back. I think, you know, Bloom's going to try to be creative to do it, but they're definitely an arm or two short.
Okay, so there was a report that came out 2 days ago that Ron Redeke was going to end up being named the manager, and then reports are coming out and say, hey, not so fast. He's not going to be – he's not confirmed as the manager. Spring training starts this week. They have no
manager.
Tomorrow. Yeah, what is going on? What do you know? Just tell me, is he the guy, or they got something else planned?
Bobby Valentine.
All indications are that, you know, they haven't made their final decision. I'm not sure if that's a matter of semantics where they're waiting for the investigation results to be announced. I think that could happen this week. I'm told it's unlikely to be today, but you never know with these things. Baseball kind of works with a mind of its own, and that could happen at any time. I think once those results are finalized and announced, if the Red Sox, if the coaches are not implicated, I think it's very likely they'll hire an internal candidate, whether that be Renicki or Carlos Fables, the third base coach who has a lot of managerial experience in the minors. You know, the team came out and denied the Renicki report on Friday, which was a really rare step. It's something that we really don't see that often. You know, it was kind of a blunt, we'll put our name on it and say that it's not true, which you don't really ever see from the Red Sox. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but it could just be a matter of time. I think Renicki, and he's not going to be, you know, the sexiest name, but it's going to be a guy where he has familiarity with the organization. He's managed in the majors before. Players seem to like him, kind of a steadying force, kind of wanted to keep the continuity from Cora. And I would say that him and Fables are the two most likely guys, but at this point, nothing's definite.
All right, well, look out for Roach. Be careful if you go out with him because, I mean, it might be a situation like The Hangover. Where are you?
he was on my flight yesterday, so we've already been through it.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy Applebee's.
Yeah, he gets up at like 6 in the morning and just goes and humps the ground there. All right, Chris Cotello, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we appreciate
Roach
it.
Roach is literally, according to his video, the only person at training camp right now.
Yeah, he's first.
Yeah.
Of course he's first.
Every day he's first.
Like, I don't see... Oh, hang on. Is that a person or is that a pole?
That's a pole.
Oh, yeah. First. I mean,
he's there before the grounds crew.
Yeah, yeah, he's the only one there, and he took a video, and...
8 in the morning, the day before everyone shows up. Yes, he's first.
I'm wondering if he just slept there.
Actually, didn't Cotello say he was on... Roach was on the flight last night?
Yeah.
So, yes... He got to the Fort Myers airport, drove over to the ballpark, slept in his car.
He's like Jay. He's like Jay Stu without a hotel room down at WrestleMania.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I live by my wits.
That's right.
All right. So when James Corden, switching the subjects, it will only take a second because I just saw something out in the hall on TV. Good Morning America. When he came out as the cat, mm-hmm. did he like bat something around?
Yes.
So the joke was it was him and who is the Rebel Wilson. It was him and Rebel Wilson. They came out dressed as cats. And they said, we are living proof that a special effects specialist is a great thing in movies. And the crowd went, ha, 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 ha. Here are the nominees for best special effects. And then when they came back, the microphone was there, and they would do the little patting it around like cats.
Underneath it was the caption, the Oscars funniest moments, and when they came back, stone face. Robin Roberts was stone faced. Strahan was stone faced. I mean, they were just sitting there, like with their mouths closed. Like, how is that funny?
Steve Martin and Chris Rock came out at the beginning, and it was pretty funny. Like, they did a pretty good job together.
Two brilliant comics.
Yeah. So they were pretty funny when they came out. Once again, no host.
Right.
And they even joked. They said, like, you know, why is there no host anymore? And he said, Twitter.
Yeah.
And, of course, Chris Rock, you know, was joking about that. And then there was that moment with James Corden, which, obviously, I know how much you love James Corden.
No. But was there something that made you feel bad for them?
No.
Was it like such a bad gag?
No. The crowd actually liked it. Like, they liked that. Here's where, I tell you what.
Very simple crowd.
Believe it or not, there was a moment that was more cringe-inducing than that. And that was when Kristen Wiig and who is the name?
Maya Rudolph.
And Maya Rudolph came out. And I think Kristen Wiig's very funny. Yeah. Maya Rudolph, I don't really.
No, I think she's funny, too.
She's fine. I don't know. I don't know if she's ever done anything that really made me laugh. But the two of them together, like, did this sing-song thing that it didn't work. It's one of those things that probably on paper was fine, but it really fell flat. It was one of those, like, oh, boy, we got to move this along. And it wasn't the delivery. They put their hearts into it, but it was just pretty, pretty awful.
All right, so.
But nothing was as weird as.
We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby. Even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
That might have been the feel-good moment of the night.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know science, but I don't think a cow that craps out a calf is really feels overly attached to it. I mean, they're big, dumb animals. But, I mean, there is a reason to be vegan, and there is a reason environmentally as well. But, oh, man. Okay, so I read this thing in the New York Times about David Letterman. Remember when David Letterman hosted the Oscars?
Yeah. Well, Oprah. Uma, Oprah.
Right. And so this author went back and watched it and thought it was great. And then she went back and read these reviews of it that said it was really good. But Letterman said it was the worst moment of his professional career and that. And I guess every night for a year on his show, he made fun of how bad he was at the Oscars.
See, I thought it was fine when he did it.
Like, no, but it, like, tortured him. It's still torturing him about how bad he thinks he did, but he didn't do bad. I don't know. These comics, I'll tell you. Yeesh. The way they think. Well, Rich, speaking of baseball, there is something a brewing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's something brewing when it comes to the Red Sox. We'll fill you in. Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv.
I'm sorry. You have to, if you don't already, which everyone should, you have to follow Dan Roach on Twitter. It's at RoachyWBZ because he's the only guy there right now in spring training. And there's a video of Nathan Eovaldi, Rafael Devers, and a couple other people walking in, thinking that they got there early enough to not have to see anyone. And it looks like Dan Roach is standing in the middle of the sidewalk and making them walk around.
He's blocking the building.
he's like, hi, guys. Hey, how's it going? Now, I have not heard the sound. He's going, hey, how's it going, guys? You ready for the season? You doing good, guys?
They don't look overly happy to see him.
No, they're like shocked. They're like, yo, God, I thought we got here early enough to avoid you guys. Like a day early and like at 8:30 or 8:45, and they're looking at him like, oh boy. And
Dan loves grass. He just like goes there and looks at the grass.
He likes the click clack of the cleats across the
concrete. No, but there was nobody there. He got there. He was so excited. He got there probably before the sun came up.
And what's awesome is that Evaldi probably knows Dan. I mean, Dan's always there interviewing. And even Dan, even Evaldi's like, look at him. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, he doesn't even say a word, just looks at Dan.
I bet you Dan
walking.
Doesn't say anything to them. I bet you he just has this big S-eating grin on his face.
I have to hear for some sound. Hang on. Let me see. Right now, it's just the sound of them walking. Come on, Dan. Say it. Say hello.
Point. It's all good. No complaints.
Dick, or Mike, you got to put this audio in. I mean, you got.
I love him.
Let's go, guys. You good?
He's like, fantastic.
No way.
No complaints.
No complaints. Doing good. Hey, how's it going? It's at Roachy WBZ. He just put in a video of all the Endeavors and a couple other guys like walking past him. Oh, the sound makes it 10 times better.
No, he's legit blocking the building. He's right in the middle of the sidewalk leading up to the building, standing in front of it. And everyone kind of walks by with his head down. Oh, Danny,
yeah,
you're the
and
best.
In the video that he takes, are those guys?
Who are you talking about?
In the video that he takes.
The one with those guys walking by?
No.
Oh, no, the first one in the field. Yeah, I couldn't tell if those are two guys or if they were poles. The ones that are standing, like, yeah. When he does the big wide shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he got there way early.
No, those are two, like, security guards. They're probably told to get there early because of Roach.
The great thing is that he's going to be on with us every day starting on Wednesday. I think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday. And Monday is the big John Henry day, right? Do you remember when Lucchino used to be there and Lucchino would basically just tell John Henry to shut up?
That's why you have to watch this press conference, because Larry's no longer there to be the blocker.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. There's no saving John Henry and Tom Werder from themselves. It's the best.
Yeah. And then, you still got, Werner when he just shows up. Werner's the best too, because now John Henry's kind of taken over that role.
Yeah.
For Tom Werner,
like, and they're asking Werner baseball questions. That's the best part of all of this. This is a TV executive that happens to be co-owner of a very successful franchise, and they're asking Tom Werner baseball questions. What say you, Harpo?
He just puts his hands up in the air.
So, Tom, what's your opinion of this Mookie Betts trade? Do you think you got good value? And like Mr. Roper, he just turns his face towards the
camera. Like when his wife wanted to have sex with Mr. Roper, and he'd be like,
"It's like Tom, how come the team doesn't have a manager yet? It's already spring training."
Off-field all questions.
That's better, even better than the.
I don't know. That's still pretty good.
That's the Harpo one. That's whenever he talks, he's just like, all right, Harpo, back in the corner.
Yeah. And just pretend you're silent.
Because, they'll probably have Sam Kennedy there, too, to try to, like butt in as well. You need more voices, because then it would, because obviously John Henry does not have the wind or he's not physically fit enough to be able to speak that long without taking a break. So they're going to have another voice in there. Maybe Heim Bloom will be in there. Young whippersnapper, he could probably take over.
But this specifically is the ownership press conference. They have it once a year, and you have Henry, with an umbrella over his head to block the sun, holding court.
Dan Roach, what do you have to say when Nathan Eovaldi and Rafael Devers are walking in?
Morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
You yourself?
Good, good. No complaints. Morning.
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
That is just a man who's excited to be talking to people younger than him. That's a guy who these guys are half his age, and he don't care.
Tom Werner, what do you think about that contract you guys gave Nathan Eovaldi?
That's music when people crab themselves.
Pretty much what he's going to do when those questions are asked tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's what they've pretty much done.
Just goes, whoopsies.
Tom, tell me about this investigation. What are you? Oh, you didn't even wait for me to finish my question.
So we'll be back. There might be good news for Alex Cora, and in a very elaborate, nerdy scheme. 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Now, Rich, there might be some vindication going on.
Yeah, this is pretty good news if you're Alex Cora. And it makes you ask whether or not the Red Sox, you know, possibly jumped the gun on getting rid of him. Or, I'm sorry, I don't know, it was a mutual parting of ways. What is that called? A conscious uncoupling between the two of them. But there was an article that came out in the Wall Street Journal that it kind of... It goes behind the scenes as to what Major League Baseball actually had on the Astros. And when you find out where it all came from, it's a little weird. So I'll just start from the beginning of this article. It says, on September 22nd, 2016, an intern in the Houston Astros organization showed General Manager Jeff, is it Lunau? How do you pronounce it?
Lunau.
Lunau, okay. A PowerPoint presentation that featured the latest creation by the team's high-tech front office. An Excel-based application programmed with an algorithm that could decode the opposing catcher's signals. It was called Codebreaker. This is the beginning of what turned into one of the biggest scandals in Major League Baseball history. Throughout 2017 and part of 2018, baseball operations for the Astros, employees, and video room staffers used Codebreaker to illegally steal signs, which were then relayed to batters in real time. Another Astros employee referred to the system as the Dark Arts.
Baseball's no fun anymore. It's literally being run by mathematicians. Hawk! Hawk!
The way the Dark Arts worked was simple. Somebody would watch an in-game live feed and log the catcher's signs into the spreadsheet or his Dungeon Master's Guide. As well as...
Bubble, trial and travel!
Hit the fastball and get a double. The pitch was actually thrown with that information. Codebreaker, or the Dark Arts, was determined how the sign corresponded with different pitches. Once decoded, that information would be communicated through intermediaries to a base runner.
Be it on the back of a well-worn Hobbit book.
So hang on. So here's what happened. You had yourself an intern. It was this intern.
The coolest guy ever.
Who obviously is the coolest dude. Okay, so his last name is Cochweiser, okay?
His name is Poindexter.
Poindexter Cochweiser is, I guess, his name.
He's a rooster who loves alternative rock.
So this is, yes, of course. It said in 2018, Luno met with Cochweiser to discuss a potential...
This is why he's so into the Dark Arts.
Because he had the last name.
Curse everyone that I went to high school with. This is from Mike Clanahan for giving me the swirly.
I shall cast a spell on you for making fun of my name, Cockweezer. Oh, beware the Cockweezer. He cometh at night when you shall sleep.
Of course he does.
The cock is tired from running. The cock has asthma.
They call me the Cockweezer that cannot go up a flight of stairs without having to slick a sip of thy Mountain Dew red from thy goblet. Cockweezer, move out of the way. Late for recess.
My wheeze is now turned to spells.
He said, in preparation, Cockweezer outlined his arguments for an extension. In a post that included the term, the Dark Arts. He wrote in part, lastly, I know the secrets that made us a championship team, some of which I definitely feel a lot safer if they were kept in-house, Cockweezer told an investigator. He used the term Dark Arts or code-breaking to tout his efforts.
I would feel safe if they were locked among my comics. The secrets are in my impenetrable... file cabinet full of first editions.
I can't read this anymore. Cockweezer also used the term Dark Arts.
Let's get behind the bleachers during the football game and and get mad at everyone.
As I made the bubble of my cauldron as my mouth was in the toilet water, trying to breathe double-double toilet water bubble.
Let's go to the park and get
run off by younger kids.
The elastic on my underwear's in trouble. It has been put off over my cranium.
Otherwise known as the atomic wedgie.
That's right. So, cockweezer also used the term dark arts in the Astros Advanced Scouting Department's 2019 Budget Excel spreadsheet. I gotta see this thing. Lunau acknowledged that he reviewed the document, but denied reading the tab dark arts, for he thought that a spell that'll turn him into a sloth was written
He thought it was just a book for nerds.
It was written in and denied that any discussion of dark arts took place during the budget meeting. In another thing called Road Notes, Cockweezer wrote, "The system are dark arts. Sign-stealing departments have been less productive in the second half." I can't even read this anymore. So basically, you had this guy.
Cockweezer.
Poindexter Cockweezer. Who showed up, and he had done like a ton of work on how to read these signals. And it was basically something that came to the general manager and ended up going throughout the organization. Now, up to this point, in all seriousness, if I can stop for a moment thinking about that guy's name, that Alex Cora was kind of presented like he was the mastermind behind all this, right?
Right.
I mean, when that report first came out, he was the guy mentioned more than anybody else. He seemed to be the one that set up all of the trash can banging and knew the hows and ways of how everything worked and was basically the bully in the you know, if you believe that he forced people to do this or go along with it or introduced it to all of them. But then this report comes out, and this isn't just some random report from a guy. This was, according to the Wall Street Journal, taken from the John, stop laughing. You're gonna get me. Stop. Stop.
I just looked at the name. Just I wanted to see the spelling. That's all. That's my fault.
And it is spelled how?
It looks like Tom
Cockweezer.
Cockweezer.
That's right. He's Tom Cockweezer.
It does look that way. Mm-hmm. Sorry. If you want to
destroy my sweater. So,
yep.
So, but now Alex Cora seems to be kind of just a pawn in all of this. So you have to wonder whether or not the Red Sox jumped the gun in getting rid of him.
Sometimes Cockweezer jumps the gun. And the girls get pissed.
Yep.
Girls.
All right.
Maybe I spoke too soon. Well, I'll tell you. When I watch Clash of the Titans, there's a fair maiden.
Misfire. Tom Werner, what do you think about the Cockweezer? Who is this team's Cockweezer?
Oh, Danny Roach. Danny Roach. How much fun did the guy from the Washington Post have writing that? I want to call it the dark arts. Go screw.
I love how like Codebreaker was a perfectly fine term.
Yeah,
but he had to throw in his own. Do you be House Slytherin or are you House Hufflepuff? Put on the hat, let it decide. It shall speak it by name. Beware, Servius Snape. He shall be watching your every move. Dumbledore, stay away. Your kind is not needed here, because there be dragons. Do not meddle in the affairs of dragons, for you are crunchy and taste good with ketchup.
Doritos.
Beware the evil Cockweezer. He shall approach you with a protruding...
What? A what? A protruding what?
Farm animal. It's a farm animal.
All right. I have a bird with asthma. All right.
So he said don't try to Google his name on your computer.
I know. I made that mistake, too.
I'm surprised I get it blocked.
All right. We'll be back. No commercials. Here's just a headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.